I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Oh, now?
Yeah, babe. Let's
Sorry. Hello.
Hello, Lou. I think you're a little bit squiffy, aren't you, mate?
I am. Do you know what it is? I've had two rashers of vegan bacon.
It's not bacon, though, is it? They can't steal the words, can they?
I've had two rashers of vegan schmaken.
Okay.
And I've had a miniature... what is it? Gin. And yeah. I've just seen on the bottle that it's 43%. Alcohol in a tiny little bottle like that, and I have to be honest, I feel battered.
Yeah, I bet you do. 43%.
Yeah, that's not right.
I've had mine in a tin. I had a little your words, tin and tonic, and I've had, and it's just 5% volume. Is that what that? Am I reading that right?
Yeah,
that's very low volume. I won't be buying one of them again. I'll be doing what you did and buy the actual gin. Nonsense again. No wonder I'm sober.
Oh, Sally, you just had a massage, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. I had a massage. I bought a massage ages ago because I thought I need a bit of self-care. So I paid for, I did it on Groupon. Mm. And then I, and just to see what this particular masseuse was like, and a man, and he was very good, and I thought, I'll pay for some proper ones then. And I just had one just now, and it was very nice indeed. I asked him, rejuvenate me. That's what I wanted. I said, don't put me to sleep. I've got packing to do. I've got shit to be getting on with. I can't be too relaxed. And at one point, he put I felt heat against my hand. I think he had a little flame against it.
Maybe it was his penis.
No. You just jumped straight to that, Lou. That's what you've just jumped to. I can't imagine it would feel hot, would it, a penis against my hand? Would it?
Yeah.
Maybe he put his penis in exactly this, just between the thumb and the first finger.
Must have a very small one then.
Well, just a lot on the hand bit. I don't know what that bit's called.
I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just pissed. We've just had
recording.
Recording with Scott Bennett, which was lovely, very gentle. And I'd have to say, your massage has sort of ran through all three of us because we were all very relaxed and it was all very chilled, wasn't it?
Really nice chat, wasn't it?
I don't know, I can't remember.
Tell you what, we'll play it and we'll just jog your memory.
Okay, thank you. Bonjour, Sally Ann Slaywood. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm pulling funny faces because our guest, I know him. So like sometimes there's people who I've never met before and I pretend that I'm very grown up and professional, but yeah. I'm just pretending to be a rabbit at the moment. I don't have a rabbit. And
why are you doing that? You haven't even had a drink yet.
I know, but I had a lot to drink last night, Lou. So I'm a little bit, so I'm in that, I'm hungover, but I'm not headachey, pukey hungover. I'm tired. And I've just had a massage.
Of course you have. Well, I'll...
I said, rejuvenate me, please.
Yeah, I'll lead this then, Sally, given that you're in a state of
disrepair.
Oh, right. Okay. When we please just welcome our wonderful guest, the wonderful Scott Bennett, please. Bonjour.
Hello. How are you guys? How are you guys doing? I wanted to make too gentle then. I don't know what the energy was meant to be. I just said hello.
Didn't even match the French, did you? You just
I didn't. I didn't. No, I did. I went hello.
Yeah.
Bonjour. Oh, yeah, see. Bonjour, ça va? Oui, ça va.
Ça va bien, merci à tous. There you go. That's
now
it,
you've gone now. That's off piste now.
That's it. Jeez. Sally's had a massage. You've gone off piste. And I'm twiddling a bottle opener around on me middle finger, giving you the finger up, Scott.
It's very aggressive bottle twiddling, that is, for me.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry.
Lou's leading this podcast today. She's in charge.
I don't normally get to be, because Sally's the CEO of the whole world. So so today, because she's on a relaxed nature and she's been wearing the same top for the last 3 weeks.
It's a dress.
Then I thought, well, one of us needs to take control. Scott, would you like to tell the listener?
Hang on a minute. Can I just mention that you look like you're like a Formula One driver?
I am. I am Stirling Moss.
It looks like you're in a pit lane.
Yeah, I am. Well, in my bed, which is more or less the same.
Can you just do this noise? Can we all just do this noise? It's like you're changing the tyres.
Oh, yeah.
None of us have had a drink yet.
We're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah.
God help anybody listening.
Yeah, God help, if they still are. Scott, would you tell the listener what your drink of choice is today?
Well, my drink of choice is... Mm. The thing is, when you ask me, I have got two drink of choices sometimes. Mm. I'm into non-alcoholic beers midweek. Mm-hmm. At the moment. I've found that they vary in quality. Some of them do taste like wet wheat, like you are just sucking through grass. But then others are quite good. But I've gone for, when I'm feeling fancy, I've gone for a gin. Gin, and I go flavoured gin. I never liked gin for years. And then flavoured gin has sort of made it accessible to peasants like me.
You've matured, Scott, haven't you? Are you at that age now where your taste buds have changed and now you're a father? Now you've got responsibilities. You've had to start drinking more adult drinks.
He needs a drink.
Well, it's stronger and it gets me pissed quicker. And I feel that is the main thing. But this bottle I actually got from a gig. So we did a gig at the Bond Distillery in Hinckley. Have you done that one? It's quite good.
It's Hinckley in Somerset?
No, Hinckley's in...
the Midlands.
Midlands, near Coventry. They said to me on the way out, would you like to take a bottle of gin?
And I was
of course I would like to take a bottle of gin. So you had that rolling round on the seat on the way home, which felt unethical.
I've done a gig in Hinckley and I wasn't offered a bottle of gin. Do you know, thank you. Do you know what I came away with from the gig in Hinckley that I did? I came away with...
Babies.
Rabies, did you say? Or babies. I came away with a 1950s safe.
What?
How many safe you've got? Fair enough. You did all right.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. But sometimes you'd rather have the booze, wouldn't you? So you've gone with a flavoured one. Tell us what the flavour was.
I've gone with raspberry. It's a bit of a weird one because I think my dad's also into sort of gins as well now. So he's sort of like, it seems to have transcended the generation, this gin fashion. So whenever I go to my parents' house, my dad says, would you like a gin and tonic? But he's so bad at pouring them.
Oh,
it's literally the saddest, bleakest gin and tonic. It's always warm. And then I said, can I have some ice? And you will give me literally one ice cube that just floats around the gin on its own. It's just sad.
I've got
with
three
a pee
ice
in
cubes.
The middle of it.
Oh, with a what? With a pee
in the middle of it. Well, he's had to scrape it out of the back of the freezer.
And it tastes of salmon.
It tastes of fish fingers.
Yeah.
Essence of fish fingers. Just the saddest gin ever.
Be grateful.
Know.
Be grateful, boy.
Yeah.
I've got three cubes of ice in mine, and I've got some frozen lime slices that I have in my freezer. For this occasion, I chop up the limes and I put them in the freezer. So it adds a little, even more ice to
You have to chop up. You have to chop up the limes, Sally. Because what I've done is we have a lodger at the moment, Scott, who's into making margaritas. And I anticipate. Yes,
that's
I am
a perfect lodger for you.
I know, but she went shopping one day, and I thought, I bet she's going to start making margaritas when she comes home. So what I'll do is I'll go shopping and I'll buy 48 limes. And on the same day, she went shopping and bought a million limes. So then my whole freezer is full of limes. But I forgot. I got so bored of squeezing the juice out of some of them that I've just bunged them in whole.
I should have done that.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, because when I should have just sliced them. No, do you know what? When we've had guests on this podcast and we've had to put lime in something, I think, oh, I've got one in the freezer. I'll defrost it. They defrost ever so quick. And then you wouldn't give it to a guest. They look all brown, but the lime and the juice inside, fine.
Oh, okay. But, well, I haven't done that today. No.
No, it's okay.
And I've obviously got this wrong because I went and got rhubarb and ginger.
No, but Scott, you've sent us all around the houses because first of all, I was looking for pomegranate to begin with. And I thought, that's interesting. And then it was rhubarb and ginger. Hang on, you could speak in a minute, Scott. You're getting it. And it was rhubarb and ginger, wasn't it? So we both went and got rhubarb and ginger. And then he's pitched up today, Scott Bennett, with a raspberry gin.
I know. I knew it was some sort of summer fruit.
Right.
Sometimes. And it looks like you've got shower gel, Lou, actually.
Yes.
The way you hear that.
Well, do you know what it is? Is that I think rhubarb is sent by the devil. And
why?
Do you know what it is? I think it's because when my mum used to cook it when I was younger, and this is going to be horrendous what I'm about to say, but I don't care and I stand by it. I think rhubarb, when it's cooked, looks like... I can't even say what I was going to say. Just looks like the inside.
Go on.
It just looks like the clots of somebody's womb that's not very well. So I
can't believe I encouraged you to say that.
Yeah, but that's your fault. Yeah, that's your fault.
My fault.
And I've always had the.
I love a bit of rhubarb, but it's cooked nicely. Oh, yeah.
It's got to be cooked now. Didn't you have to, as a kid, dip it in sugar?
Oh, yeah.
Did you do that?
Yes, lovely.
We did that when we lived on the farm.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed sugar or enjoyment. So that's
on the rhubarb leaves, they're poisonous, aren't they?
I think they are. Oh, no, they just make you shit heavily fast.
Oh, do they?
They've got a natural laxative, I think.
Oh,
there you go. That's
there you go, Lou.
Yeah. Thank you. But this has got ginger in it, so I'm hoping that maybe I'll get over my detaste.
It's not strong. It's essence of rhubarb.
You can smell the rhubarb.
I'm ready. I'm saying cheers.
Sorry. Shall I go in with the whole of this bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes into a pint. So classy, Lou.
I know.
Pint glass.
And I'm in bed.
I've got my gin glass.
Ooh. And I'm using, I've got tonic from the Edinburgh distillery where I got this at a gig in Scotland when I got a gig. There you go.
Scott and I haven't waited for you to pour it.
I know you have.
We just got in.
This is lime-flavoured tonic.
Oh, hello. So you've got rhubarb, ginger. Oh, nice. That sounds right.
The amount of lime in your house, Lou, the neighbours are going to think you've got scurvy. There's just so much. Everything's lime-based.
Yeah, it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if I had. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers. Sorry of the confusion.
So, Scott, what got you into... I know what I'll ask you. What was your training drink? Mm. You know, when you were young, you first started drinking.
Oh, yes, I know this. And it's so funny because I was talking to Gemma the other night. And now, you know, if I have a smell of it, it makes me gip.
Oh.
It physically makes me react. Oh. You know, when you've got memories of it and it's Mad Dog 2020. Mad Dog 20. Have you heard of this?
Yes.
Fortified wine. So this was what used to happen was, and I'm sure it's the same, and I bet you've heard stories like this on the pod about underage drinking. There was always that one person who had the beard, who'd gone through puberty at like 7. Looked like he was a father of 6. It just
that
had
wasn't
that
you, was it, Scott?
No,
Lou,
do you know what? I once went I once in a pub, right, and we were all drinking underage, and the bar lady went over. And she went, right, I'll serve him, and she just went to me. That's ridiculous.
As if a little baby,
he's getting nuts. That is ridiculous. I was boy banned for years, and but this lad who had the beard and stuff, and he'd go up to the counter and he'd always have his dad's car keys, because he said it's always like, if you do get a little bit rumbled, just say I've got the car, and then buy 24 cans of Foster's, which is what he used to do. So then he'd go in, but they'd always have mad, because when you're drinking at that age, you don't want the taste of alcohol, do you? You want you wanted hooch or all that sort of stuff. So we had Mad Dog 2020, and it was the kiwi flavour.
Oh, hello. Not trying that.
It was grim. And I remember drinking it, and it's pure acid. I don't know what it is. I've never seen it since. I've seen it in a couple of shops. It was in like a hip flask. But I remember I drank it at the fair once. We were at the fair.
Were you a traveller? Is this what this is?
It's ridiculous. That's just because we were 15 years old. So you're straddling adulthood and childhood. Mm. Like you're doing hook a duck and drinking White Lightning. it's such a juxtaposition of where you are. And I remember drinking this stuff and then going on. Do you remember those things called the eggs at the fair where they go upside down? These little things you could sit in. It was like a Ferris wheel. Mm-hmm. You went upside down. Now, stupidly, I'd done a bottle of Mad Dog 2020.
Oh, no.
And then, obviously, you're an idiot. And they go, do you want to go on there? And then we went on there, and it was brutal. And I remember coming off, and it was just projectile. It was everything. Everything I've ever eaten.
Not in the egg.
No, outside of the egg. I held it in the egg. And it was, do you know what it's like, though? In a way, it was so violent. I reckon I was bringing up breast milk. It was like I'd vomited that hard. I was vomiting stuff from my childhood, like there's a Finder's crispy pancake.
There's a rusk.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It was so, it was like
my ankle.
It was such a violent vomit. It was like time travel. And I remember two blokes walking past as I was mid thunderous. So you imagine that, all the parents there with the children, there's just me, 15-year-old in a Nirvana t-shirt, hooing. And then this guy just went, get this lad a knife and fork. It was yeah. So that was my introductory drink, and I've never seen it since.
Well,
you don't get it
because
pubs.
Of that.
Yeah.
You don't, yeah. Oh no, it's like drinking bleach, isn't it?
It is, but it was like 40%. And I'm like, I can't drink it now.
No.
It's madness. 15 years old drinking a bottle of that. It's ludicrous. No.
I'm guessing the reason you can't find the kiwi one anymore is because it wasn't a big seller, I bet, was it? I'm sure that's probably simple.
Not in an ex-northern mining town.
Kiwi flavour.
Do you know what I'd like this Saturday? Look, can we get some kiwi fortified wine? To go with the chips.
Did you even know what a kiwi was?
No. I thought it was an apple.
Yeah.
I thought it was a type of apple. Do you know what? It's so funny because everyone else was drinking Thunderbirds or like one of my mates used to drink a bottle of Concord. You know why? Why?
Concord. Now I know that.
Yeah.
Really cheap. It's like a really cheap wine. But he'd go in, it was like a hen night drinking a bottle of Concord, you idiot. It was horrible. It was a horrible time. I just sort of remember, and I still have flashbacks to that moment. And then the really weird thing is, I don't know if you've ever found this, whenever I got drunk, it was always accidental. That was like, I didn't mean to, it just happened. And then my parents are so caring that my dad would always want to pick me up regardless. And I remember they had like guests round at their house. So they had like people that were having a civilized evening, and my dad went and got me, and I was a mess. It was all down my front. I was wobbling in the middle of a park, and he picked me up. And I remember him trying to get me into the house, and like, I walked into the front room, and then you've got to try and act normal. in front of your mum and dad and their friends.
Whilst just, you've got chunks of carrot down your top and
they're playing Scrabble. And you're wandering through with your own mess down your front. Good evening. Good luck with the triple word, Scott.
So proud. So
that
proud.
Is our boy.
There he is.
Yeah.
My dad used to be quite proud of me being like, you know, like that though. Not sort of, you know, just because it's not every day, is it? And I think my dad used to be like, oh, there she is. Yeah. My girl, look at her rebelling. You like that? Rebelling against the world.
I think he did say to me, he said, next time, just stick to Foster's.
Oh, bit of advice from Mr. Bennett.
That's a 15-year-old beer, that one. Foster's.
I don't think I ever had advice from my parents because I don't. Yeah, I used to go to everybody else's houses to drink. Never really drank in front of my parents at home, other than when I got home from school and would raid the drinks cabinet when they weren't there. And then that was it, really. Yeah, I wasn't given advice.
I was looked after on a hangover. I think my dad used to quite enjoy that. He'd bring me up like a roast beef sandwich or something. Ooh. He'd be at my beck and call. Honestly, little Lord Fauntleroy here. I'd be have a little bell. I'd ring it and up he'd come with something to help me. Honestly. And then once me and my friend Tina Doyle, she was there. We'd been drinking tequila gold. And all I remember is seeing her ass over one of those green electricity boxes, you know, in Oxford City Centre. I was like, where's Tina? Oh, there's her ass. And then we came out of our slumber hungover and we wanted Neapolitan ice cream and ravioli in a tin. Oh, and off my dad went down the VG store.
He did not.
I love the fact that your dad found his purpose when you were pissed. I love the idea of him just going, I'm not feeling much like a father this week. Go and get shit-faced, Alan.
I'll get the ravioli. That would have been material for your dad, though, wouldn't it? Did he ever talk about that on stage?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's the days of the old jokes. My dad was shared jokes.
Is that your hangover go-to cure then? Tinned ravioli?
No,
still?
It was just me and Tina Doyle. I love Tina Doyle.
That's a great name for someone who's pissed for you. Me and Tina Doyle.
Tina Doyle. My mum and dad ran.
I needed a Tina Doyle.
She was great. She used to come round and go, shall I put the kettle on? To my mum and dad. She goes, shall I put the kettle on? Won't fit. She said it every time.
Oh, good old Tina Doyle. Where is she now?
But her mum and dad are in Greece, and they used to own a pub in Oxford called the Plasterer's Arms, and they were Irish couple, and they bought loads of property back in the 70s or whatever, and now they built their own house somewhere on a Greek island. Yeah, they were great fun. There we go.
That's and it all started with over the electricity box with your ass out.
Yeah. She used to have a Golf GTI, Tina did, and she used to drive us down the Coven. Yeah, and we'd be putting our Ultra Glow blusher on in the car whilst listening to Yaz and the Plastic Population or whatever it's called. While waiting to go in, she fancied Hubba, who worked on the door. And we went, come on, girls, with our white jeans.
Oh, mate, you're taking us back to you're taking us on a journey.
History,
yeah, it is history. Oh, I used to just do my drinking at Tanya Frost's house. Her dad used to get us anything that we wanted, and I was always sick around her house. Always. Yeah.
You're always sick anyway.
I am always sick, yeah.
House parties when you were underage had such a weird energy, the whole thing, because my there was a lad I used to knock about with was two doors away from where I lived, and he was like a year younger, and I never really had a party at my mum and dad's house because my mum is so house proud. Like, she will spend all day Monday cleaning, literally all day. She gets up at 8, she just hoover all day, the hoover is going all day. She just spends a whole day deep cleaning. I don't know if she's murdering people, it's like CSI or something. And I just felt that I couldn't, all I did was I had something in the garden and I thought that's contained, but my mate two doors up would go mad. Like, literally, as soon as his mum and dad went away, there was like 25 people, and I'd go round. And I remember once it was just carnage, like, because when you're at a house party, people bring their own booze, but they don't share it, do they? So you find like cans of lager hidden behind the bottom of a curtain, and they get off them, they're Dave's them, he won't let anyone have one of them. There's a bottle of whiskey behind the mantelpiece, get off that. And I remember he used to get his dog drunk. He used to pour like beer into the dog bowl. And then I remember just people stood on his dad's car at one point.
No.
On the roof. It was madness. It was like Woodstock 99. You know,
wow.
And then the neighbours used to just complain. And it was always the same. Yeah. And then the neighbours would go. He'd always get into trouble. But I always thought that. I always think, mate, what are you doing? You're inviting 25 people to your house.
My mum and dad were very, very, well, my mum was very, very strict. And then when she, this is how strict my mum is. One year they went away on holiday and how old was I? Early 20s, I'd say. Still living at home. They went away on holiday and I was like, oh, thank God, peace and quiet. Heard the door go.
She was full.
Bye-bye. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, please, where's my Weetabix? Off they fucked on holiday. And I was like in bed thinking, oh, I'm making plans. I'm gonna do so many different things while they've gone. Half an hour later, the phone rings. I had a phone by my bed because I was so cool. Yeah. So I answered the phone. And it was this woman going, hello, is that Lou? It's Trish from the garage. Down the road, yeah. Your mum and dad been in, they're on their way to holiday. Yeah, and in my head, I was like, oh my God, something awful's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, now, your mum said you need a job, so can you come and start this afternoon?
No.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, on the way to the airport, she'd done an application process.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I was like...
You need a picture of a passport? I'll drop that off.
I was fucking livid. I was like, how dare you? Because my 2 weeks had been planned.
That's
two
brutal. Weeks.
Yeah, yeah. That so then I got myself out of that job. I did 3 days there, fucking livid. Then I pretended that the lady that I was working with was racist because I was telling her about the fact my sister had married a Brazilian. And so I told my mum I didn't work there anymore because she was being racist against my brother-in-law. She wasn't. And then I organised a party in the house to spite my mum. My mum's like, your mum, hoovering, cleaning. Yeah. It's because she's got nothing else to do. Yeah.
These digs.
Yeah, yeah, can you tell? And then they bought this white sofa from John Lewis. Oh, dear. And somebody dropped their joint on the...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beef or lamb.
Oh, it was horrendous.
And what happened?
I covered it in Tipex.
Oh, amazing.
Fair enough.
Did they notice? Cost.
No.
They will have done.
Cost.
No, no. And it was luckily the same sort of place on the sofa that I had once pretended I'd got my period on the sofa when I'd eaten a hot dog and the tomato sauce had come shooting out the end and I'd rubbed it in with a Brillo pad.
That's precision joint dropping. Drop it on the period stain.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought, I'll get you. You can go on holiday. Yeah. So I will have this party. Thank you very much.
I think your mum and my mum will get on because I remember being, when I was at college, I'd go out on a Monday night to rooftop gardens. It's the bleakest place. It was in
Sounds
Wakefield.
Lovely.
No, it wasn't at Sal. They condemned it. They closed it down. I think it wasn't safe. I think there was asbestos, which is perfect. For what
on the
that
rooftop.
Place was. It, no, just being pumped in on a daily basis. And it was called Rooftop Gardens. On a Monday night, they would do 10 pence a pint night. Mm. Where you pay...
I heard you swallow then, Sally.
you pay a fiver to go in and then the pints are 10 pence and it's drinking all the booze they didn't use at the weekend. So it's rank.
Oh.
But it's 10, but you can never make it back. You're paying £5. You'll never drink it back.
No.
It was a 10 pence a pint. And they used to do snake bite for 30 pence or cans of red stripe for £1.
Ooh. Oh, well, you'd have the pint of lager, wouldn't you? You'd have the
10p. 10p, but it was awful. You knew it was bad as it was going in. It was grim. It looked like it had sediment in and stuff. It was awful. But it was they used to play indie music. So we used to go because it was like Monday night. So and I never had lectures for most of Tuesday. So I was like, Monday, I can go out, get hammered. And then but my mum was like a bit like your mum. She would hate me being asleep on a Tuesday. She would hate me coming in at 2 a.m. because she was like, he's coming in at 2 a.m. This is not the way to live. I'm up. We're all up. And she would hoover into the bottom of my bed.
Oh, on a Tuesday?
Yes. On a Tuesday. I used to do.
She'd done it on a Monday.
Yeah.
It's like I wake up to just this...
banging on your door.
Into the bottom of the bed. No, into the bottom of the bed.
Into the bed.
Into the bottom of the bed. And then she'd be like, oh, you up, are you? Yes, I am. Oh, good, good.
My mum and dad... Even as a grown up, having moved away, when I used to stay the night there, and even now, my mum is a little bit. It would creep around until Princess Sally had risen. Oh God,
I needed your life. Sally had the best hangover parents. Your parents were amazing. Oh,
they'd have the TVs. So they couldn't even hear it. Like
I can imagine
sleep.
Your dad walking up the banister, so he doesn't even have to put his feet on the carpet.
Wow. They're like
ninjas. We're going to have to go via the roof because Sally's asleep.
No way. Oh, my God. That so sort of thing considerate. Did not exist in my house.
No.
Sometimes my dad would speak to me. Oh, bless my dad. He'd talk to me. It'd be in the morning and I'd be standing. And he'd talk to me and I'd go, I'm not ready to talk yet.
What an arsehole.
I bet he said, I'm so sorry. I should have checked the schedule.
Too tired.
I'll go and get you some ravioli.
Oh,
spoiled.
The worst thing is because we'd been out till like three, I had no eardrums as well because I'd been next to a speaker. And all I could hear for all that whole Tuesday, I never learned anything because all it was
that white noise. Day. Yeah.
And then the hoovering. It's like waking up in a wind tunnel. It was awful. I've been thinking, because it's such an interesting thing with people actually drinking. All my drinking has been accidental. My worst nights have not been on purpose. I've never set out to get hammered, but it's always crept up on me.
Mm. It's interesting that you say your worst nights, because generally my accidental drunken nights have been my best nights.
Right.
Well, at least you think.
And the most fun. Yeah, maybe they have been my worst nights, but for me, I'm like, well, that was good fun, wasn't it? Because I look at the debris around me.
And your dad cooking ravioli.
Yeah, really quietly.
I think what it was is like, because I remember one when we were in Pontefract, which is, we went to some awful places to drink. And it was like one of those where, you know, sometimes you're like, it's 1 o'clock. That's the danger zone, I think. At the 1 o'clock, do you stay? Do you go?
Yeah.
And your brain's going, you've got to go. You've got to go. And I remember I was with my mate, this lad who lived 2 doors away. And he looked and he says like, we're in Pontefract. Now that's 6 miles from home. And I looked and we had like £5. And we were like, right, we can either get a taxi and go home, call it a night, or we can put his money together. We can get another couple of drinks. Then we can get a KFC and walk home.
And that always sounds like the best option.
And
it
does, until you realize the route was like the sides of dual carriageways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, like, road. When Alan Partridge walks down to that garage, that was us. And then the best thing was, and this is, I've got such vivid memories of this. When you used to go to KFC and get a bargain bucket, they used to give you a full dessert. Do you remember these days?
No.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Check it out. Honestly, Google it. I thought I'd misremembered it. They would give you like a Sara Lee Gatto.
What?
Or an apple pie or a Viennetta. That was the era we were in. So you'd have a bargain bucket, then they'd give you a Viennetta. So we walking back home with a Viennetta under and obviously it's going to melt.
Down the M62.
Down the side of the M62 with a Viennetta. And we had to cut it. To portion it, he had to use a credit card. Portioning this Viennetta. And I was talking to him the other week. I was like, I can't believe we actually took that as an option. The things you do when you're hammered.
Yeah
we'll eat that Viennetta. I remember the woman behind the counter was like, do you want this full Viennetta? And we were like, yeah.
Stupid question.
That's probably, but you know when like you see like abandoned shoes at the side of dual carriageways and stuff, that's probably people carving up a Viennetta and using their shoe as a bowl and then just discarding that. And that's, yeah, imagine.
No matter how pissed I am, I can always order food as well. I don't know why. It's like I've been in that situation when I've been so drunk, then I get in a chicken shop. Then all of a sudden I'm like, good evening, good sir.
Yeah.
Is it always chicken?
I would love to have some chicken, please. Thank you. How are the children? Very well, thank you. And then I just become this erudite...
Eccentric gentleman.
And then I get outside and I'm back...
Yeah,
is that your net with your credit card?
Yeah.
How many times have you woken up with half a chicken wing on your pillow next to you?
At uni, it was always the same. At uni, because it was the Zambuca era. Do you remember when Zambuca?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, and it was flaming Zambuca.
Yes.
Mm. And I remember Gemma saying to me, because she doesn't really drink, Gemma, so she used to just witness the carnage just slowly unfolding. Gemma does this thing where if she has too many drinks, she'll turn to me and go, am I going to be all right?
And you're like, no, get more down here.
And then she's looking at me and I'm being sick down myself. And I was like, I'm not the person to ask. And I remember the Zambuca, the flaming ones, being so drunk, I kept forgetting to blow it out.
Mm.
So just drinking fire. I woke up with chicken on the pillow that morning. Mm. Chicken.
I've said this before, but I set fire to my uncle's brother's moustache once with a flaming Zambuca because I told him, I didn't tell him to blow it out, and he just necked it back and his set fire to his face. Yeah, he's dead now. So,
sort of fire accident.
Yeah.
The smell of hair burning is unlike anything else.
Oh, awful.
It hangs in the air, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. It really does. Sally, do you want to do the quick fire round?
I will do, yeah. Let me just bring it up.
We've got this quick fire round, Scott. That's a new thing we're doing. We'll see how it goes with you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hang on a minute. Oh, Sally, you joined in.
Yeah. I sort of harmonised, if you noticed.
Yeah, well, in a way.
Anyway, here we go. Okay, Scott Bennett, Hendrix or Gordon's?
Ooh, Gordon's.
Sip or glug?
Glug.
Lemon or lime?
Lime.
Red or white wine?
Ooh, red. It's got to be red.
Red. Screw cap or cork?
Cork. Love a cork.
Exciting. Lager or bitter?
Bitter. Northern, obviously.
Just the one or finish the bottle?
Finish the bottle.
Lou or Sally?
Oh, I don't. I think your dad, to be honest. Your dad and his ravioli. The hangover survivors network. That's what I want. Do you have to pick one?
Yeah, you do.
You really have to pick one.
Yeah.
Oh well, I think this is divisive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mean. It's really mean. And also we remember it.
I can't pick
bearing
one
in mind that we do see you around the circuit.
Yes, I know. This is gonna be awkward, isn't it?
Bearing in mind who your favourite is, it's me.
I would say, it's like the school hamster. I will have Lou Monday, Wednesday, Sally for the weekends, please.
You get her the best time.
He wants you to clean and hoover on a Monday.
Then if we are going out on a weekend, Sally can activate the hangover parent network.
Oh, all right, then. Yeah. What is your hangover cure, then?
Oh, it's interesting, actually. It used to be at uni. It used to be Hollyoaks Omnibus. Packet of salt and vinegar crisps. T4.
Classic.
T4 in bed. Do you remember being in bed all day?
Yes.
Like that. I've missed those days of when you go like, I'm gonna have to get up now because my legs have stopped working.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't feel my own body.
And don't ever get dressed in the day.
Just sort of
smell yourself.
Around. Yeah, I could smell my own nutsack. There were the glory days.
We could all smell your nutsack.
And so I can't do that anymore now. So my hangover cure now, it used to be a packet of salt and vinegar crisps and a glass of lemonade. But now, I'll tell you what I do now is, this is awful. I'm ashamed as I'm going to say it. I go and do a spin class at the gym.
What?
Yeah, and straight away, I know you're judging me, and you're
leaving. I'm leaving.
You're leaving. I'm heaving when I'm doing it. I'm not leaving. I'm heaving. But
does it work?
It does work, because you go in there and you feel horrendous. You feel horrendous when you start. By the end of it, I can smell as I'm spinning on this bike, and this lady who takes us is great, but I think she was removed from the army for being too aggressive. She shouts at you. And I remember, you can smell it coming out of your body.
She knows who's hungover as well, yeah. So she's probably worse on them.
So like, I could smell like the gin, and I could smell the red wine, like Rioja, just like you're wringing out a flannel, just coming out your body. And it's like purging. There is something almost, I know you're not on board with this, but it's like spiritual. It's like your body's been purged. It's like, it's the same euphoria you feel from 15-year-old vomiting. Oh. You know, with a 15-year-old vomit, the breast milk. It's the same thing.
I do like a purge.
A purge. And I could smell the kebab and the chili. And
all comes out, doesn't it? I bet people around you were really enjoying that scent as well.
Oh, yeah. I get right in the middle, Sally, as well. In the middle of 15 other people.
Yeah. How do you actually physically get yourself out of the bed? Because for me, the idea of that, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. Yeah. There's no way on God's earth. Well, I wouldn't go to a spin class anyway, would I, Sally? No. I wouldn't go to any form of exercise class. It's for idiots. But how do you get yourself out of the bed?
Well, it's one of those things where I will leave it till the last minute. So I'm literally like, it's like almost, you know, Wallace and Gromit, where he's dropped down the chute. It's like I'm dropped into Lycra and then just dropped into the trainers, into the car, just driving. I'm just in a mess. And then I get there and I just know that the feeling afterwards is beautiful. It's like I've been reborn. But then what happens is I get to about 5 o'clock and I crash. I crash on the
sleepy time.
Because obviously with us being comics, Monday is my hangover day. Mm-hmm. Like Sunday is the night. I go a bit mad on a Sunday.
Lovely.
Do you not find that when you're a comic, you get in at like 1 in the morning on a Sunday and you think, this is my weekend now.
Yeah.
The house is quiet. I've got access to the telly. I'm going to drink like a 15-year-old left home alone. Just smashing through units.
Staggering to bed.
Smashing through them. But yeah, it does. It's the, I suppose what it is, to answer your question, is what motivates me is the feeling of having that purge afterwards is enough to get me there. Because I know it works. It's an intensive removal of the hangover.
Because I used to do the whole Bikram yoga. I still do hot yoga, but the Bikram yoga studio where I live closed down. And one of the teachers there used to put it so hot, like to the point of,
oh no,
they used to have to open the door and I'd be eating the oxygen that was coming in. Like, I need that cold air coming in. But what was quite nice with a hangover is that whole sense of purging. And sometimes it would work. Sometimes I could do the class, but also sometimes I would just lie down in the heat and let sweat anyway.
Imagining you're on holiday.
It's fine. Have a little, you know, maybe not sleep. I just lay down. If I couldn't do it, if I couldn't stand up because I was too hungover, I just lay down. And that was fine. Yeah. Nobody minded.
No. Scott, when you were like in your uni days or like before you got into comedy and that, when you'd go on a bender, what was the most ridiculous, embarrassing thing you've ever done when you've been drunk?
Doesn't have to be uni. Could be any time, couldn't it?
Yeah, really? Any time.
Well, I mean, it wasn't. This was, again, an accidental one where this was Gemma and I, actually. This was on our honeymoon.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, we don't really, she never really drank. I never really drank. But we were on an all-inclusive. And we'd never gone 5-star before. And we'd saved up. My mum and dad had given us a bit of money and said, just go and have 5-star. And so you're laid there and all you're doing is drinking. And when you're not drinking, you're letting yourselves down in the worst way because all night, that's all you do is on a honeymoon. And we were laid around the pool. And it's so funny how you slip into that mentality. Because at first I was like, people bring you drinks continually.
Where were you?
Malta. So we laid there. And at first I was like, I don't want this guy bringing us drinks, Gemma, because it's just wrong. day two, I was literally like, where's my fucking Chardonnay? This is ridiculous. I am dry, Enrico. Top me up, Enrico. And so we'd been drinking most of the day. And then they give you, you know, these, like, they organize these package things. So, like, one of them was like, they take you on trips to places. But then another one, they were like wine tasting. So we stupidly signed up for it in the afternoon, not knowing that it was like 4 o'clock and we'd been drinking since like midday. And then you're like, right, well, we're going to have to do this wine tasting. And it was in this like castle thing. It was a lovely area, but we arrived and we were half cut. Really, we shouldn't have been there. It was stupid. And you could tell most of them weren't Brits as well. So they were out, they were treating it like it should be, like they were interested in the wine. And they were like,
what?
Oh, they were like, oh, yeah. And this guy was telling it. And we were just downing them. So he gave us the wine and he'd go, I'd just bang. And then he'd look round and he'd go, if you'd like to just swill it round the glass. And I was just going, there was nothing in it like that. Just going.
He was British, like, mate. Come on.
And then he was like, some of you seem like you need a top up. And then he'd give us a top up. Oh, and then we'd drink that. And then they'd come round with little bits of cheese, but we had no wine left. So there was all like the Spaniards and that were like wine and cheese and getting there. And then me and Gemma were just eating cheese. You know, with an empty glass, just like just children. And you could tell. Like Gemma, Gemma was giggling. She gets the giggles because she knew we looked like absolute dickheads because everyone else was looking at us then because we were drinking. Like it was like we were on back at the hotel, just drinking and drinking. And then he was like, the guy was getting a bit agitated. He was like, now before you drink it, you know, like, it was like doing that. Yeah. It's like, you know, you go like, this is a Rioja. Now, before you drink it, like, angry with us. And we were like, and then at the end, they gave us these liqueurs.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. And we came back on that hammered. Just a mess. And I think that was it. Obviously, it wasn't embarrassing as in like nothing, but it was just socially in a quiet, imagine that, in a quiet castle in the bottom room. There's no one else around. There's Gemma holding. And when Gemma holds giggles, she giggles more. And then sometimes what happens is she blows an O-ring and breaks wind. You know, and then she laughs at that. And then we get caught in a vortex where, so I've seen Gemma on nights out when she'd have a couple of drinks. She's actually been biting her own clothing just because she's so like, you know, when someone goes silent and then you get a, you know, that moment where you know that they're just focusing on not laughing. So I'm sort of stood there with my wine glass and I've got this thing next to me going, the guy just going, don't drink it, people eating cheese. So just, this is a beautiful bouquet. It was so tense. It was awful. And do you know what the mad thing is? The day after what we did with the hangover, guess what activity we did?
Spinning.
Swimming with dolphins.
Oh, no. You'd already planned and paid for it. Yeah. Everything, so you had to go.
Going in there with a hangover, swimming with dolphins. Oh. And I was so hungover and confused. They made you take your jewellery off. Because if you ever do it, you stroke the dolphin, right? It's like an aubergine, wet aubergine.
They're really soft, aren't they?
But you can't wear jewellery because you'll damage them.
Oh, of course.
So we took all our jewellery off. I was so hungover. When we went and put them back on, I put it on the wrong finger. So I put it on the middle finger. And it was stuck and I couldn't get it off. We went to the guys were coming with olive oil and butter and it was, honestly, I had to go to A&E in Malta. A&E.
What? Was it your wedding ring?
Wedding ring. They had to, that's why I've got no wedding. They cut it off. They cut it in half, give me two halves and charged me like 200 quid.
Oh, Scott.
I know. All because of wine tasting.
Oh, God. Do you see, booze is evil.
It is. It's just it's the knock-on consequences of what happens to your brain.
Yeah.
And I just, it was swollen up as well. And I just,
you know, I've seen very recently a video on how to sort that situation out, Scott.
What? So, a swollen ring? Tell me.
A swollen ring. What you do is you wrap dental floss around the finger.
No.
Above or below the ring.
Below the ring
where it's bulbous, where it's swollen,
and then it just it sort of encases the finger and makes it, above the ring, sorry. And then it makes your finger
thinner. That makes sense.
Apparently it's supposed to...
You can get it over the bit where the dental floss is.
Anyway,
right?
Don't do it too tight because you could chop your finger off.
But I bet the swimming with dolphins was lovely on a hangover. How soothing and lovely.
It wasn't very good. And I'll tell you why, because you think it... I thought it was going to be in like a cove. Oh. Like where the dolphins are natural and you're in the Malta.
Was it in a pond?
It was in like a leisure centre.
Oh.
It was like the traffic.
Some of the people doing legs alongside.
It's the woman in a swimming cap in the middle. But it was like, it was just a bit, it was a bit sad.
Rubbish.
Yeah, it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, this is, you were swimming with dolphins in a leisure centre.
No, like the Sea Life Centre at the Trafford Centre.
It was
you
like
don't
literally
want to do that.
Yeah, so it never really worked. But that holiday was the honeymoon was great. But I lost clothes. I left clothes on the balcony.
You lost your virginity with any luck,
yeah,
Scott?
Absolutely.
In a leisure centre.
It was the blowhole. It just looked the perfect size.
Oh, God, that's horrendous.
That's a great story.
Got the ring, though? Have you still... Could you not get it soldered back together?
Do you know what? I thought, I don't know where it went. I took it back home in two halves.
Oh.
And it was just that moment where, you know, when you've put it on and it's weird. I don't know if you've ever had that, where you've been so worried about something that it invades your dreams as you're sleeping. Yeah. You ever had that?
Yeah.
So like, I was dreaming that I'd removed the ring. Like the relief of it, I'd just gone like that and I actually saw it come away. But in reality, it was swelling and swelling. It was like, you know, on Gladiators when they had them foam fingers.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was going like this.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just remember waking up and saying to Gemma, we can't. This was like day three. I can't do 11 days with a swollen middle finger.
Oh, you didn't look like Prince Charles.
Yeah.
You know, he's got those really fat fingers, hasn't he?
Do you know what? Whenever I see those hands, I'm like...
Sausages.
It's a little pinky ring. That ain't coming off, is it?
That is not coming off.
Do you reckon that when he looked at his hands and he went, Dutchy original sausages, that's where he got the idea?
Yeah. I reckon when they go on holiday, Camilla has to prick his hands with a fork before they go into the sun.
They're sort of like Mickey Mouse. It's like Mickey Mouse with gout.
It is. I've said it once and I'll say it again, Scott. I'd take two of those.
Yeah.
I see what you mean, Lou.
You would though, wouldn't you? Because they're big and fat and you're like, all right then.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean now.
Mm. Oh, yeah, she's being filthy.
I am, yeah.
But you'd want the one with the pinky on, wouldn't you? For a bit of extra...
Bit of friction.
Friction.
No, I don't think so. There's only so much fun a woman can have that's menopausal. Oh, yeah.
Them coming at you, those.
Oh,
sort
no.
Of...
They're like somebody's blown up a rubber glove.
Yeah.
And then stuck them on his wrists. And
they don't even look real.
No.
I did have the old Prince Charles hand, but yeah, that I think for me, it's definitely the drinking now. The only time I ever get drunk now, really, is when I'm cooking dinner. Do you not find that?
Just when I'm,
cheers,
I do love drinking when I'm cooking, though.
If you get the Alexa on and it's like midday on a Sunday, start cooking a roast. You'll do a bottle of wine. You'll do a bottle. You will do a bottle.
Yeah. Bit of EP. Oh, yeah. Yeah, lovely.
By the end, though, you can't even remember what you cooked or why you're eating it.
And then you're not hungry, are you?
No,
you're just picking at bits and you're just drunk.
You're on it then, aren't you?
Do you want Sunday dinner, Dad? No, you've got no trousers on and I've eaten a full... I've eaten a joint like a sandwich. Just picking up the beef joint like that.
Scott.
And you've
got children now. You've got to be responsible.
I know, but they encourage me to drink on a Sunday. They enable me because they say, because they say, oh, daddy's cooking again. Daddy does a good dinner. Oh, are you going to cook again, daddy? And I'm like, yeah, but you know
that's
what
they're
means.
Doing, are they? They're
two
enabling
boxes of wine when daddy cooks, doesn't he? He's having to get boxes because they stack more easily.
Stop blaming your children.
And they make no noise when I put them in the recycling.
That's a really good point.
I've got a question for you. When your kids are old enough to drink, what sort of parent are you going
to
be?
Oh, that is a fantastic question. No one's ever asked me that before. I want to be like your dad. I think that the ravioli there and the cuddles and the what would you like from the shop? I mean, I'm already a sap with my kids. My daughter today went to school with no coat, with no pencil case, she forgot her lunch. She's 12. She forgot everything. The only thing she remembered was her own DNA. That's all she remembered. And I, like an idiot, I took it down to school because I'm an idiot and I'm a sap. So it's I think Olivia, I'm going to be one of those where I'll have the room at the perfect temperature. Good morning, madam.
Oh, my dad used to put a bottle of red wine by the radiator if I was going to stay after a gig. Yeah. You might want a glass of red wine when you get home, Sally.
I think I'm going to be one of them that picks her up and she'll be like, I'm sorry, it's all right. You know, if you need to be sick, go in the seat pocket.
Yeah, and I'll clean it out later.
It's fine, I'll deal with it. I think I'm going to try and channel your dad. What would you like? Would you like ravioli?
Ravioli. Scott, will you be my dad?
We've got to ask the question, Scott. Dead or alive, who would you love to have a drink with?
Oh, God. Oh, that is so many.
I mean, it's a vast question.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I would say, I would have said Peter Cook, but then he drank, he hammered, wouldn't he? So there'd be a limited window where it'd be enjoyable. Mm. And then it'd be like, he'd be asking for cuddles and it'd be sort of reminiscing about difficult relationships with his parents. And it'd probably get quite bleak. Do you know what
Maybe
I mean?
Just have an hour with him.
Yeah.
Just an hour with Peter Cook. Yeah. On the first pint with Peter Cook, I think.
Yeah,
two pints
with Peter Cook. I think that would be absolutely brilliant. It's a difficult one. Probably someone like, no one's ever asked me this, actually. I didn't really, not really thought about it. I think someone... I would have quite liked to have been with Liam Gallagher in the early days.
Yeah.
Do you know when they used to get kicked off ferries and stuff?
Yeah.
If you did that, you'd have a broken nose, Scott.
But what I would be doing is I wouldn't be in the main melee of it.
Oh,
I wouldn't be like throwing chairs. I'd be like at the bar going, here's your pint, Liam. And then I'd just sit back and watch him smack a random bloke. And I'd be like, fantastic work. I feel like I'm involved, but I'm not really involved.
I've got spin tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll just sit here in my lycra, boys. You crack on. Would anyone like some crisps? Bring crisps and I'll just sit there and go, remember, guys, up at 8 for spin. Come on.
Come having on, a no. sip of water every time you had your pack. Yeah, just because you wouldn't want to be an accessory to that, would you?
Don't be grumpy, Noel. Come on, get on the spin bike. Come on.
Yeah.
If you want to live forever, you're going to have to look after yourself.
I don't want to live forever, Scott. No, stop that up the arse.
Oh, what a way to end a podcast.
Oh, I love it.
Is it a spit or a swallow? The gin. We've got the rhubarb and ginger.
Yeah.
Well, can I just say I have drunk most of it, but it's a swallow. The thing is...
Even though it's rhubarb, because
I think I would not have it with the lime tonic again because it tastes a bit like... do you remember those ice pops you used to get, the lime ice pops as a kid? It tastes a little bit like that,
Lime is overpowering, though, isn't it? It takes away every other flavour.
But I have drunk it, and I feel fucking pissed. So, it's done the job. And what time is it? It's 2:30 on a Tuesday. Happy days.
She's on it now. She's going down the path.
I tell you what, get Columbo on now and carry on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, I'll just dress the GC up because he's only got one eye.
Crank up, get a little box of red wine on the go, Lou.
Yeah, because you can't hear those in the recycling.
Yeah,
that's and brilliant,
they
Scott.
They collapse.
Yeah. Is it a spit or a swallow for you, Sally?
Oh, it's definitely a swallow. I love it. Rhubarb and gin. I did it in the tin, ready mixed. Lovely.
It's a great combination. The rhubarbs, the tartness, the gin. The ginger's the sweetness.
Yeah.
Honestly, Lou, I think you need to put aside your trauma about rhubarb.
It's... All right. Well, maybe I'll have to go and have another one then.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Scott. Scott, that was brilliant. Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. It was such a lovely chat.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at Spit or Swallow Podcast 34, that's the numbers 34, at gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/Spit or Swallow Podcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at Spit or Swallow Podcast 34, that's the numbers 34, at gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/Spit or Swallow Podcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye.